You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Hi, I'm Leonard Lopate. In a few minutes, we will take you to a live press conference with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Richard Hake joins me now to discuss what we can expect and to fill us in on some of the other details of what's been happening in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. We're calling it Superstorm now.
That's right, Leonard. We're expecting to hear from Joe Loda. He's the head of the MTA. He has been promising a schedule of service restoration by midday today, and he's typically been appearing with Governor Cuomo, so we hope to get that. That'll be a big piece of news when we can expect certain subway lines to come back or what's going on with the buses. The one other piece of news is that two of the biggest airports serving New York, JFK and Newark Liberty, have reopened, although with very limited service. They're still assessing the situation at LaGuardia. Now, the big story today here, at least in Manhattan and Brooklyn, people are trying to get around. People are trying to get to work. But there are tons of traffic jams. It took WNYC's Charlie Herman nearly 2 hours to go from the Upper West Side to our offices here on Varick Street.
I'm in a cab on 11th Avenue in the 50s, making my way south towards Midtown and eventually the WNYC offices. There's a fair amount of traffic, but at least things are moving. That's a lot better than what was happening on the Upper West Side on Broadway, where it was bumper-to-bumper traffic. The buses were barely moving. A lot of people were standing at the bus stops trying to get on a bus, looking for buses, or pushing their way onto a bus. But other than staying warm, I'm not sure if that's going to be the fastest commute to work. At times when I was walking down Broadway, I was able to walk faster than the bus. Once you get past Midtown on the west side, traffic really opens up. There are much fewer cars on the road. We're able to get at speeds that you normally would do on the west side highway, but there's still no power in this part of the city, and as a result, there's no street lights. Perhaps the biggest danger is making your way through the intersections.
And that was WNYC's Charlie Herman in a taxi.
Now, I came into the office by car this morning over the Williamsburg Bridge, had a little it was a pretty easy commute, actually, and the downtown area was pretty easy to travel in because, as Charlie pointed out, most businesses are closed because there's no electricity down here. The big scary thing is that there are no traffic lights. But it seemed to me New York drivers were being more courteous than usual. They really were stopping and allowing you to get through.
I've been staying down here right near the radio station. I have to say, though, yesterday, to be a pedestrian and trying to cross the street has been difficult and actually dangerous at night. We actually had to hold up flashlights to let some of the cars know that we were going to cross the street.
Well, I can see that because the cars are really being courteous to each other, the drivers, but they're paying no attention to pedestrians. And right now we are waiting for information about what's going to happen with the subways. But you mentioned LaGuardia. LaGuardia, I saw some images this morning, is underwater in many areas because it's right on the bay.
That's right. It's sea level there. Another big issue this morning or today is what's happening in Hoboken. New Jersey National Guard trucks are right now delivering ready-to-eat meals, and they're also evacuating the city of Hoboken. About half the city remains flooded 2 days after this storm struck, and thousands are still up in their brownstones, in their condos, and other housing. Miles Square City is across the Hudson River right from New York, and the mayor's spokesman over there says many people are now asking to be evacuated.
Do we have any idea why? Is it below sea level?
I think
there?
It has to do with this tidal surge and where the water is just.
But there are other cities that are along the Hudson River, and we're not hearing
higher points, terrible things
about what's happening there. Anything else?
In Long Beach, Long Island, the city's water is contaminated and the electricity is out there. So that's another issue for folks on the south shore of Long Island, contaminated water. There's also that awful fire that happened in Breezy Point. 111 homes were destroyed during the peak of this storm. And this is a difficult place to get to on a normal day. But we got WNYC Stephen Nesson in there this morning to talk to people in the community.
Many residents here are more concerned about their neighbors than themselves. They're walking around consoling each other. Many houses here are brought down to their foundation. Odd bits and pieces remain. One man went to his mother's house to see what it looked like. It's his first time there. All he found was a crock pot. A white crock pot was all that remained of his mother's house. And he's walking around somewhat dumbstruck, consoling neighbors. very big, strong men are actually brought to tears when they see it.
That was WNYC Stephen Nesson out on Breezy Point.
And that fire is caused by a gas leak.
I believe so, yes. Yeah.
We are curious about what some of our listeners are seeing, whether there are new disasters developing or whether the situation has pretty much returned to normal for some of them. And we invite calls at our new contingency number, 646-829-3980. That's 646-829-3980. Or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org.
What's also interesting about this, Leonard, it's almost like a tale of two cities, because we have people getting rescued out in Hoboken. There's people with homes destroyed out in Breezy Point. No electricity in the lower half of Manhattan, basically south of the Empire State Building. But then there's reports of like kind of business as usual up in Midtown and up in northern Manhattan and places in Brooklyn.
Really hard hit has been Long Island.
Yeah, the South Shore.
And I have a friend whose house was partly destroyed by a falling tree. He has no access to the outside world, no cell phone as well. So we're going to see a lot of people driving into the city and staying with friends. Let's take a call from Maddie from Mineola. What's the situation there, Maddie?
Well, really it's kind of ominous looking sky out there. I came out there yesterday a little earlier than everyone else and tried to get out and make sure that since there was no traffic lights or anything, and there still isn't. There are like accidents waiting to happen out there because people are rushing to go to the stores or to see if they can go to their workplace. Not a very safe situation. Heard of the story last night on one of your shows that had an accident in the evening in Hicksville, Long Island. I do want to say, though, that I realize that the five boroughs and Staten Island and New Jersey, they have been devastated. We all know this, but we really hope people will pay a little bit more attention to Long Island, too, because we are so, out here and without almost a communication. I heard somebody earlier today in one of the shows say that 85% of Long Islanders are without power, and that is absolutely got to be true, because I know no one I've spoken to that has it, and their cell phones are just like their lifelines. I have to stay in my car, and I've designated the hours of 10, of 2, of 6, and of 8 to come out to my car or outside of my building in order to get network coverage. And more importantly is that, checking on the neighbors, and I know I have, and I did what LIPR had told me to do, which was to take bottles of water, put it in the freezer 2 days ahead of time, freeze all those bottles so that you had those for your refrigerator. Because when I did go out to the store yesterday, and I tried over there this morning, obviously there is no backup generators to create ice.
Maddie from Mineola calling in and telling us about the real difficulties that people in Long Island are facing. Richard, we're going to go to our first guest today, Leslie Bushara. And as soon as the governor begins his press conference, we'll cut over to that. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Leonard.
Leslie Bushara is the Deputy Director for Education and Guest Services at the Children's Museum of Manhattan, and she joined us on Monday just as the storm was hitting to talk about what to do at home with your children. And now that we are in day three without school, we have asked her back to help us find the bright side of this situation, how to make the most of this time at home with your kids, and what to do about Halloween. Welcome back, Leslie.
Thank you for having me.
And we're also taking listener calls. How are you faring cooped up at home? How are you keeping your kids occupied? We invite your calls at 646-829-3980, or you can leave a question on our show page at WNYC.org. And Leslie, Governor Christie has kind of canceled Halloween in New Jersey.
I know. And I think so. certainly here on the Upper West Side, a lot of things have been canceled as well. But it doesn't mean that kids can't experience Halloween either in their apartment buildings or inviting friends over, getting dressed up and doing things at home. But I do think now in day three of this, it really is time for to help children really understand that this is really about the community and it's about helping others as well. So if you've just been cooped up in your apartment, but you have your apartment and you have water and you're able to do things, I think it is a time to start to talk to children about how they can help other people, whether it's baking cookies for the elderly, folks who may not be able to get out, or looking at some of their own toys and their clothes and their books, packing them up in a basket and looking at different shelters and places in the city where they can actually go with their parents and deliver these things to other children in need.
So you see this as a teachable moment, an opportunity to talk to the kids about how to help other people.
I absolutely do. I mean, I think that this is part of helping them understand that there's a broader world besides their families. And also it's a way to empower kids in this moment. I mean, a storm and everything that's happened is very scary. You know, there's nothing that's in their control. So here's an opportunity to say, okay, what is in our control is that we can look out and we can help other people. And here are some of the concrete ways that we can actually do that and give of our family and ourselves. And I think, one, it's a great bonding experience with parents and kids. Two, as I said, it really helps them see the bigger picture of things and makes it somewhat less scary because they're actually doing something where they feel that they can help. And again, it's another activity that families can continue to do together.
The kids have to stay inside because we've been told about all of the problems outside, down trees, down power lines, flooding. Have you seen many parents and kids outside?
I live on the Upper West Side, and I haven't seen a lot of children outside.
Well, Leslie, I'm sorry. Can you stay with us? Because we have to go now to a live press conference with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, and we'll come back to you, okay? And we are back with Leslie Bouchard, Deputy Director for Education and Guest Services at the Children's Museum of Manhattan, talking about what to do when everyone is cooped up during in the aftermath of this storm. We invite your calls at 646-829-3980, or you can leave a question on our show page at WNYC.org. And I'm going to get to some of those calls in just a moment. Leslie, thank you so much for being so patient.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Absolutely.
Well, we were talking about Halloween when we were so rudely interrupted. We have a call from Rupa from New Providence, New Jersey, who wants to talk more about trick-or-treating. Again, the number, by the way, is 646-829-3980. Hi, Rupa.
Hi. Hi there, Leonard. How are you?
I'm well.
So obviously, like all towns in New Jersey, trick-or-treating has been canceled, or rather our town told us it's been postponed until they can restore service. The bulk of our town is without power, trees over people's houses. It's a disaster, as anywhere else. And
do you have kids, Rupa?
I do. I have 2-year-old toddler twins. And this is really their first Halloween that they sort of understand and want to be out and about. So we were really looking forward to it. And this is Halloween, too, because we weren't able to do this last year either. And when the townships can postpone it, let's say they postpone it to Friday, honestly, it's not going to happen. Because if it's not going to happen the day of Halloween, a few days later, people just sort of lose the steam and it becomes kind of, I don't know, people forget about it, and it really just doesn't take place. There's been a lot of talk on my Facebook page and in my mom's groups of a lot of the towns where they're doing trunk-o-treating, which is a lot of moms getting together, going to the either local schoolyard or the train station, and having candy in their trunks, and then all the other moms bring their kids, and you do a trunk-o-treat.
It prepares kids for tailgating when they get older.
Exactly. There you go. Though I'm not that crazy about it. Maybe if we did it in our schoolyard and the police were there, but obviously the police are attending to more pressing issues at the moment. It's definitely an idea. I've been talking to a few other families within the neighborhood to perhaps go to each other's houses, but there's also a lot of downed wires in the neighborhood. I'm not comfortable walking around the neighborhood with the kids. So I've actually just thrown an open invite to all our neighborhood kids to just come to our house today. Oh. And we'll do trick-or-treating at our house and let my kids run in my backyard, which has been cleaned up, and we'll just eat a bunch of candy in the backyard.
Rupa, thank you so much for calling us. Along these lines, Robert Astorino said about trick-or-treating, parents, be parents. If you're in a neighborhood that has power and is safe, make that call. If you're in a dark neighborhood with downed wire and debris, don't go out. Leslie, we were talking about that in regard to New York City as well. You live on the Upper West Side, which is almost returned to normal, hasn't it? Are you going to let your kids go trick-or-treating today?
Well, I'm thinking about it. On our block on 69th Street, there's usually a big Halloween extravaganza that has been canceled for the night. But again, there are some apartments that are opening their doors for kids to come in. And I think what Rupa's doing is the right thing. I think another thing that you can do, Rupa, with your kids is if you want, you can make it sort of a Halloween hunt in your house, and you can hide the candy. And then the kids can walk around in the backyard or in different areas of your house so that it has more of that feel of that surprise element of, oh, we're going trick-or-treating. I think, again, it's everyone's call as a parent as to how safe you feel bringing your kids outside. But I think getting them dressed up, inviting people over, or even doing your own Halloween adventure in your house or close by in your neighborhood is really the best call. And I think, again, it's about talking to them about the things that have happened to them that they're really lucky about, which is the fact that, you know, many people aren't having any Halloween at all. We're very lucky. We have our friends. We have our family. We have our home. And let's make the best of this situation and make this the most unique Halloween we've ever had, and then we can take pictures about it and write about it to our friends. So I think there's a way to turn this around and to think about the positive aspects of families that are actually able to experience Halloween when so many others are not.
Now, Rupa suggested going to the local schoolyard, but some people might consider the park as a good place to go. Are they safe right now, considering the fact that some trees have fallen and some branches might still fall?
Yeah, I would not go to the parks right now. I mean, certainly Central Park is not open, and it's still a little bit windy outside. I really wouldn't risk that for Halloween. I think there are other ways to do it where you can feel very safe. Rupa mentioned that she had a backyard. I think that's fantastic. You can be outside there, and if you know that everything's safe, you can do that. But I think for New Yorkers, it's probably an inside kind of situation right now, and using your apartment buildings as, you know, knocking on your neighbor's door, seeing if they can help out, even providing candy for them if you had it and they weren't going to be involved. I think really being creative that way would probably work better at this moment in time.
We go now to Jordan, who sees us from the other side. Jordan, you're in the eighth grade?
Yeah.
So what are you doing to keep yourself busy during this time, and what are your plans for Halloween?
Well, I'm basically going outside and surveying the damage, and there's basically all these leaves on the ground, and I wanted to play basketball, and most of the courts are all wet, and we actually watched the water come up Chambers Street on Monday night when the power went out. We went outside and watched the water flood from Chambers Street.
So you're pretty much living without electricity right now.
No, yeah, we're not. We don't have any power.
Have you been in touch with some of your friends, some of your schoolmates?
No, because we have no power, and I doubt that my friends have power, too.
So are you finding this particularly rough?
Not really. I mean, I've never been in this situation before, but I feel a little bit bored. And I'm kind of dealing with it, basically.
Well, you know, Jordan, no one has dealt with this situation before.
Yeah.
They're calling this a superstorm for good reason. You have a brother?
Yeah.
Are you getting along? Because being cooped up in the house can be tough for adults as well.
Yeah. It's really tough being cooped up, and my dad and my brother, we're all trying to keep like ourselves sane, and we're trying to just keep ourselves occupied. I was thinking about like playing card games, maybe like that.
I was just going to say, do you have any large jigsaw puzzles? Might be a time to look at longer term projects for you guys to do together.
No, but I've been playing guitar and composing music, actually. So basically, I've been keeping myself occupied.
Thank you for calling us, Jordan. For adults who have nothing to do, maybe Scrabble is a good idea. We were talking the other day with an 11-year-old girl who said that she's been playing all these board games, games that she might not have played otherwise because she had no electricity. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say that's a great idea. I mean, I think we talked the other day about pulling out all those dusty old board games and then maybe even having a family championship. So you do, you know, a morning Scrabble game and an afternoon Monopoly game, and then toward the end of the night you revisit it, and whoever won, you know, is the lead in it, and then someone else takes a turn. I think it's, again, about what we've been talking about, sort of being inventive with the things that are in front of you. And then also, I think, again, thinking back to the community. You know, if you can be in your apartment instead of cleaning your room, maybe putting also aside some things that might be nice to give to other children or things that you might feel comfortable giving away, and certainly clothes and things. And that way you begin to also, I think, kids, you know, get that sense of community and also see an end in sight to this, because we will go outside again and they will resume their lives again, but it's just getting them to that next phase.
We have a call from Leah from Locust Valley, New York. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Leonard. This is a great show. Great day to have a show like this. I live within walking distance to Bayville and consider myself lucky. I have no power, but everything else is pretty good. I walked over to the Red Cross Disaster Center in the Locust Valley High School. They were great. Let me charge my phone. It's a beautiful day to take note of nature. I've been journaling. I teach third grade and will ask my students to do the same. I teach fourth and fifth grade as well. There's just so much going on around.
So you're going to give an assignment. What did you do during the blackout after the storm?
How about the day I couldn't go trick-or-treating? I mean, that's what it is. And I found so much to do, reading my students' papers, reading my science journals that I don't get a chance to do as often as I'd like, and sort of regrouping. And most of my friends who are teachers feel the same way. I almost feel like I'm connecting to my students on this day, and it'll certainly give us something to talk about.
Well, many teachers talk about just how much time is consumed marking papers. This is a good time to do it.
I look at it as a way to communicate with my students. You know, when you have so many students, sometimes the best way to do it is by making notes on paper and having a sidebar conversation.
Thank you so much for calling us. Leslie, will you be doing something similar at the Children's Museum?
We will. We're actually going to be opening the Children's Museum tomorrow, so I hope if folks feel comfortable, they'll be able to come to the Children's Museum of Manhattan tomorrow, where we'll have ongoing activities for kids and families. And one of the things that we'll be talking about in our new exhibit that just opened, Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, is around community, because the Grinch never felt happy until he was part of a community. So we'll be making projects with children and parents, and some of those projects will be given to families who are in shelters or children who are living with cancer at Memorial Sloan Kettering. So we'll again be talking about the community and ways that you can help at the museum with our ongoing work.
We're going to sneak in another call here. Zachary from Chelsea. Chelsea was really hard hit by the storm, wasn't it? There were some art galleries that have been totally destroyed.
Yeah, the water definitely came all the way up to our front door, and I think into our basement. We're on the 8th floor, though, so, you know, we were okay, aside from the power. But today I'm much more concerned with Halloween, and my 4- and 7-year-old have you know, woke up this morning and got into their costumes. So I'm just hoping that there's always been great trick-or-treating on 22nd Street near the Seal Park, which is closed. But the street, I'm hoping there's some brave souls out there with candles in their windows who are going to be out. Maybe they stocked up on candy early so we can at least have a little bit of normalcy.
I'm worried about all that candy in my house. If the kids don't come by and eat it, I may eat it, and that's not such a good idea.
It could be a problem. I think the storm, the kids have done great, climbing up the stairs and dealing with the wind and the no power. But if Halloween is canceled because of the storm, I'm pretty sure it's going to leave a real bad taste in their mouth.
And Leslie, this is a problem for a lot of parents because kids really look forward to Halloween throughout the year.
I know they do. And I think that's where I think parents need to use their best judgment, whether you feel you can go outside and walk around with your child and find some opportunities, whether it's storefronts or other apartments that, you know, are open to this, or really energizing your whole apartment building and asking people, calling people and saying, would you, you know, participate in this Halloween for my child, getting your child dressed up and going through this ritual together. And even if it's a slightly different ritual than you had anticipated, again, talking about what an adventure this is, how this is the most unique Halloween that you've ever had, taking lots of pictures, and then journaling about it and writing about it, you know, to grandparents or to other friends that you're not able to see. Look at the
Leslie,
kind of Halloween that we had.
Thank you so much, Leslie Bishara, the Director for Education and Guest Services at the Children's Museum of Manhattan. We've been talking about what you can do with your kids during this time when they're all cooped up. I suspect that kids who usually welcome this when school is canceled, welcome that now are getting a bit antsy and I'm looking forward to returning to school. Our show continues. Later, we're going to be going to Maya Bloomberg's press conference. Lots of other things coming up, including a discussion with Thomas Ricks about his new book, The Generals. Stay with us.